November 9th, 2002, Southern California College Conference. Title, Eating Christ. Session 1, Eating Christ as the Tree of Life.
Well, we are so happy to continue this fellowship this morning. Maybe I could do this. I'd like to ask all those who this is your first time here at this convention center for our conference, please stand up. Okay, all those, first time. Just remain standing for a minute. All those who are here for the first time, is that all of you? My goodness. Amen. Amen. Very good. Okay, thank you. Well, we are so happy that we could be together with so many of you who are here for the first time. I am so glad that in this conference, the title of the message is not Studying Christ in Systematic Theology Until We Are All Dead. Eating Christ! That's what we are doing. What we like to do, our real secret agenda, we have an agenda this weekend. Our agenda is to make every one of you eaters, enjoyers, and lovers of Christ. This is our agenda. We will fellowship this whole weekend, and hopefully the result of this time will that you would love the Lord more. You would love to eat Him, you would love to drink Him, and you would love to love Him. Amen. It is so good to be together with young people. Amen. Who are not old, right? Even though we may be older in age, yet our spirit, when we contact the Lord, is always fresh and is always new, right? And is always one with the Lord. We appreciate the Lord very much in this way. Well, as you can tell, the whole conference this weekend is on the matter of eating Christ as the tree of life, eating Christ as the hidden manna, and eating Christ as the rich feast. Eating, eating, eating. Eating is the way. Aren't you glad that God made eating, even physically, so enjoyable? How about you, Gino? Amen. So enjoyable. In the same sense, because our God is so great in His attributes, His intention is that man would eat Him. And God made eating Himself so enjoyable. Amen. I can guarantee you when lunchtime comes at 12:30, nobody here we will have to beg, please, please eat. Please, please eat. Why? Because we were created with a hunger to eat. This is God's creation. In the same way, just as Brother Minor mentioned last night, we have another stomach. If you just satisfy your physical stomach, you are not satisfied. The real satisfaction is to take care of that other stomach. Did you know, Jonathan? Look at John. Look at John, John. Look at John. Okay, here's one stomach. But there's another one here someplace. Brothers, do you know where it is? It must be someplace in here. But I guarantee you, no matter how many, you know, John, you know, I know John. He likes In-N-Out. And other things. Lots of other things. You know, John, we had a camping trip with the brothers in Anaheim. And when we found out that John Thompson was coming, I told my wife, double the menu. Right, John? Because you know what? John likes to eat. God created him that way. It's so good that John likes to eat. Now we hope that just as his physical stomach has the appetite for the physical food, his spiritual stomach would also have the appetite to eat Christ. Amen. Thank you. If John saw all the lunch items, yet he didn't have an appetite, it would not do him any good. So, as well as speaking about eating Christ as the tree of life and eating Christ as all the rich items, we'd also like to speak about how to get the appetite for Christ. Amen. Okay. Anyway, the brothers did a good job this morning on Roman numeral 1 and Roman numeral 2. How about we just read it for refreshment, just 1 and 2 together, okay? All together. God's
original intention was that man would eat him as the tree of life.
The tree of life. And then Roman number 3, we'll start there. Eating Christ . We are not here this weekend telling you how to become better. Brother, what is your name? You testified this morning, right? Yeah, you in the red. This one right here. Jeff, Big Jeff, right? Jeff, okay. Jeff, we are not here this weekend telling everybody how to be a good Christian and how to do better in your Christian life, though that would be the result after eating Christ. Our focus here this morning and this weekend is not on how to do something outside of Christ. Our focus is to go back to the source, go back to the Bible. Right. What did God do when he put Adam in front of the tree of life? Don't think that this is just a kindergarten story. This means something. God told Adam what to eat and what not to eat. God did not say, worship me, though we do worship him. We worship him in a very sweet and intimate way. Right. We worship him. This is part of our Christian life. Right. God did not say, study hard. Right. God did not say, do this or do this for me. Right. He just said, take care of what you eat. Right. When you eat the proper thing, you have the proper result. Right. If you eat the wrong thing, then you have the wrong result. And we saw at the very beginning, the tree of life was there along with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We know the history, the tragedy of man. Man ate the wrong thing. And today, all of mankind is suffering from that time. Right, right. But the Lord can never be defeated. Amen. Even though man partook of the wrong tree and man's fall was terrible, eventually the Bible says that man fell at least 4 times. The Bible tells us that man became all just flesh, and every imaginable and evil thing was done in man. But God would not give up. Once God has a purpose, he will never give up. Amen. He is more stubborn than you are. Aren't you glad about that? Man fell, but God did something. And here, what did God do? Eventually, in Christ, he came to take care of the problem that separated God and man. God's intention and God's purpose is that man would just eat him and take him in. This is so simple. This is why it's missed by so many people today. Why? Because it is too simple. But actually, this is the way, as the outline says, to fulfill God's purpose. God has a purpose, and the way to fulfill this purpose is so simple, by eating him, eating Christ as the tree of life. Amen. God in Christ went through so many steps, the step of incarnation. What a great thing that God himself, the very one who was in the Garden of Eden, got into a man. He just, God himself hid himself into a womb of a virgin. For what reason? That eventually he could come again and the tree of life could be open and available to man. He came in incarnation. He came. He walked on the earth as a real man. Not as a handsome man. So many of the brothers, you look at all the brothers, so many brothers are so handsome. But God did not come. But God did not come in that way. Why? He didn't want people to follow him because he was handsome. Those pictures you see of Jesus, there was no Kodak camera at that time, okay? Forget about those things. The Lord came in the flesh, and he came walking on the earth. This was part of his way that he would fulfill his purpose. This is the part of the way that he would reopen the tree of life. Then eventually, he came and died on the cross. We are so grateful for his death. And we like to declare strongly that when the Lord died on the cross, he died as my Savior. And he died as your Savior. But he doesn't stop there. The Lord's death is much more than just saving us. When he died, as Nathan covered this morning, the tree of life, the way of the tree of life was reopened. Amen. There was a big obstacle between God and man. The tree of life was there, but the obstacle was there. God's righteousness, God's holiness, and God's glory would not allow man to partake of the tree of life. would not allow man to fulfill God's purpose. So God had to take care of it. We could not do anything. God took the initiative to take care through his death and resurrection. Eventually, through his death and resurrection, the way for the tree of life was reopened. In other words, man can again partake of the tree of life. Who is this? This is Christ as the dear embodiment of the triune God. Okay, how about we read number 8 together, okay? 3a. Because though the way was open. I'd like to come back to this point. What a great thing. What a great thing that the way is reopened for man to partake of God. Amen. I know we have heard this before, but I'd like to impress you with it again. What a great matter. Right. We should not take this for granted. Right. Eventually, God himself is available to every man. God took the step to come to man to make himself available as what? As the tree of life. In other words, brothers and sisters, we have a second chance. Amen. Adam, he blew it. But we have a second chance. So this morning, this weekend, take this chance. Amen. What chance? The chance that the way has been opened again, reopened to the tree of life. Now, through the Lord's redeeming blood and through the Lord's application to us, the way to the tree of life has been reopened. In other words, God is available for you. Amen. Amen. As Brother Dick does, how about we point to our neighbor and we say, neighbor, God is available to you. Amen. Then you can say, now turn to another neighbor and say, neighbor, eat Christ as the tree of life. God's intention is not just to make man good and to have man be good. God's intention is that man would eat him. Eat him. Eat him! Amen. Eat this tree! Amen. How otherwise can a conservative young man like me from a Japanese background be crazy? Amen. Because I've eaten Jesus! Amen. And he makes me crazy. You know, Brother Minoru and Brother Dick, we've been together for at least 30 years. Yeah. I met those brothers 30 years ago. We're just crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother Dick, we're crazy. Mino, we're crazy. What happened to us? You know why? Because we ate the tree of life.
Amen.
And it's making us a different people.
Amen.
Actually, what happened to us is we got the divine disease. And our intention is to infect every single one in this room until you have the divine disease that you must eat Christ.
Amen.
I'm not sure. We have a number of doctors in the room. I'm not sure if there's a disease like that that causes you to eat, Michael. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's a divine disease in this universe. And we like to, part of our agenda, Sam, we like to infect everyone until you are so hungry for Christ that you could eat him.
Amen.
As the tree of life.
Amen.
I'd like to tell you, this is a great, great, great matter. What a great matter. God did not keep himself away from man. But God, through his process, took the step to be available. The tree of life, the way to the tree of life, has been reopened. What a marvelous matter. We should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for reopening the way. The way was closed. Today, if the way was still closed, what a life of misery. The reason why we are so happy and so joyful is that we have been eating Christ as the tree of life.
Amen.
You know, the hardest time in a family is around 5 to 6 o'clock. Why? Because that's right before dinner. And everyone is irate with one another. What reason? You love one another. The reason why you're irate is because no food. So between 5 and 6, before you eat dinner, there's a lot of contention. A lot of anger. A lot of this kind of thing. But as soon as you eat, everyone just loves one another. Oh, Johnny. Before that, we just fight one another. After eating, we're all so happy, right, Johnny?
That's right.
We just sit there. Okay. So that means be careful. Between 12 and 12:30, eat Christ. Before you eat lunch, eat Christ.
Amen.
I really mean this. We do. In our fellowship, Brother Minoru will fellowship later, Brother Dick will fellowship in the course of the weekend. We all speak the same thing, that we can eat Christ today as our rich supply. Something transpires in our eating. I'd like to just impress you with this first point. Number one, be impressed. The way is reopened to partake of Christ as the tree of life. This partaking of Christ as the tree of life fulfills God's purpose. Then we come to Roman number 3a. However, even though the way has been reopened, Satan does not stand still, the enemy of God. He thought he deceived Adam and Eve, and he thought he had the whole creation under his hand. Eventually, God did something in Christ. The way was reopened. He could never close the way. But he introduced something, another food. Instead of eating, man eating the tree of life, Satan introduced something else that man could eat. And eventually, the result was the same. Something came in that man ate from the tree of knowledge. And what happened? Man became distracted from the central point of God's purpose. Mainly through how? Mainly through teachings.
Right.
Sometimes, that doesn't mean we don't teach the Bible. Don't take that excuse. We teach the Bible. We love the Bible. But there are certain things. If we just take care of teachings, that teaching may distract us from the central vision of eating Christ.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what happened. In the book of Revelation, we see at least these teachings manifest. You know, we are covering completely from Genesis to Revelation. You will see, and we will see this weekend, how from Genesis to Revelation, we will see God's intention, Satan's strategy eventually, but eventually God's purpose. In his way, he reopened the tree of life, but Satan came in again to distract man. In other words, if I could use a simple analogy, God has prepared himself as the tree of life, as the rich feast. However, before you get to eat the tree of life, he has all the junk food waiting for you. And unknowingly, sometimes we just eat these kind of things. What happens? We have no appetite for the real food, which is Christ himself. Any kind of teaching that causes us to what? To not focus and love the Lord and pursue the Lord more, we just have to put aside. Why? Because this may lead us, instead of to know Christ more, it leads us to be distracted more. So, teaching, religious teaching, is a big item. This is Satan's introduction of another kind of food to, again, what? Derail man in God's purpose. That's why we have the book of Revelation. And that's why we have, with all seven churches, the Lord says, he who overcomes. Okay, how about we read C together, okay? For the recovery
of the church life, that is, for the proper growth of the Christian life, what we need is not merely the mental apprehension of teaching, but the eating of the Lord as our bread of life in our spirit.
Oh, we need the eating of Christ. In John 6, the Lord presents himself. In B, religion teaches, the Lord feeds. John 6, 35. Come to me, all you who are hungry. Right? When you come to me, you shall by no means hunger. He who believes in me shall by no means thirst. If we are still hungry and thirsty, we just come to him. Amen. He will fulfill and he will satisfy all our hunger and all our thirst. Amen. Then for the recovery of the proper church life, we need to eat Christ. Eat him right, as the bread of life in our spirit. Then D, sisters, if we... If we overcome, so the Lord is calling, because the religious distractions, Satan has crept in to come with so many distractions. The Lord is calling again, overcome what? Overcome. When you overcome these religious distractions, I will give what I will give you to eat of the tree of life. I'd like to just spend a moment here, a little bit on this point. In Revelation 2:7, this is a marvelous point in the outline. We overcome the church's degradation. What degradation? To take teaching instead of Christ. We enjoy Christ in the church today. Then what is the reward? The reward is not prosperity. It doesn't say, to him who overcomes, I will make more prosperous. It doesn't say, to him who overcomes, I will take to heaven. It doesn't say, to him who overcomes, I will give straight A's. No. It says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. The very tree of life in Genesis 2 now is found in Revelation 2. The very tree of life that was at the beginning of time, of man, now, again, is found at the end in Revelation 2. Christ, as the tree of life, is reavailable to man as what? When we overcome. Okay, we will get into more of this point as we go along. Anyway, when we eat Christ as the tree of life, eventually, our Christian life, we have to say, is in the paradise of God. The paradise of God, strictly speaking here, is the New Jerusalem, the experience of the New Jerusalem in the coming millennial age. But actually speaking, when we enjoy Christ as our real tree of life, we are really in paradise. Amen. The paradise of God doesn't depend on the situation. The paradise of God depends on the person. You could be in a difficult situation, yet you could still experience Christ in the paradise of God. It doesn't depend on the situation. You may be in the best situation, yet not have the enjoyment of Christ. Not the situation, but the person. If we know how to enjoy Christ as the tree of life in a practical way, whatever we're in, even though it's difficult, we are in the paradise of God.
Amen.
One thing that we have enjoyed, we brothers, over these years, the church life is
Amen.
So sweet.
Amen.
By the way, never, never, never think, even think about the church life being this way or that way. Even the condition of the church may be poor. If you are an eater of the tree of life, the church is paradise to you.
Amen.
I love the church.
Amen.
Why? Because we are eaters of the tree of life.
Amen.
Okay, how about we go to Roman number 4? Let's have brothers read that. Eating
the tree of life, and is enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life today for the accomplishing of God's economy.
The primary matter, right? To eat the tree of life as Christ, enjoying Christ as our life supply. Sisters. The best way to worship the Lord, drink, feed, and enjoy. It may seem strange that we dedicate an entire weekend, an entire conference to the matter of eating. Why? Because this is not normally and commonly taught today. But it is so much taught in the Word of God. So we have the burden and we have the commission to pass on what is found secretly hidden in the Bible and to give it to all of God's children, announcing to you and announcing to everyone that what? Christ as the tree of life is available for us to enjoy. And the best way to enjoy Him is to drink of Him, to feed Him. You will hear this word a lot, enjoy Him. Why? The Christian life is not a morose life. I'm a Christian. Can't you see I'm a Christian? I'm a suffering Christian. It's not a morose life. The Christian life is a life full of joy. We can always tell what kind of Christian we are by what we eat. When we eat Christ as the tree of life, my goodness, we will be full of joy. We will get into more of this. Drink Him, feed Him, and enjoy Him. In the Word, calling on His name. B, to enjoy Christ requires us to love Him with our first love.
Amen.
This means not only when we were initially saved. We had a first love at that time. We just loved the Lord. We fell in love with Him initially. But here, the call in Revelation chapter 2 is not just that initial first love, but the actual word is best love. The church in Ephesus there in Revelation 2 had all the works. She endured everything. She even tried apostles and found them to be false. Right? But the Lord says in the faithful and frank word, but I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. Then the Lord says, remember, you have left your best love. In other words, at this point of time, the Lord was telling all the dear saints in Ephesus, you have this, you have that. You have so many things. You have so many works. But you left me as your first love. The Lord is saying, come back to me as your first love. What does this mean? This means come back to Christ as the preeminent one. So I'd just like to ask you a simple question this morning. This morning, what do you love? What do you love? We love our family, we love this, we love that. That's okay. But our best love and our preeminent love should be loving the Lord. Otherwise, what happens? We are in danger of leaving Christ as our best love. Some of you are in school. Education may be very prominent and preeminent with you. It's very good to get a good and proper education. But we hope education doesn't become your best love. If you eat education, eventually the issue will not be the paradise of God. Some of you have a real desire. Ooh, I've got to get married. I'm 20 plus. I've got to get married. If I don't get married, I will die. It's very good to be married at the proper time, at the proper... We shouldn't talk about marriage, but anyway, the Lord talks about it. Because why? This may be so preeminent in us. And it may be that we came to the conference because that special someone is there. And we try our best. We say, Lord Jesus, I love you. But actually, our eyes go to that person. Lord Jesus, I love you. We say, Lord Jesus, I love you. But Lord Jesus, I love you. If you let me get married to that person, I really love you. I don't know. Whom do you love first? If you love the Lord first, we can guarantee you the Lord will take care of everything. Anyway, that's not the main point of the message. I hope you don't make this the main point, right? I'm just giving you an illustration. What do we love? Some it's not marriage. Some it's other things, different, you know. I notice in the parking lot, there's a lot of nice cars. Maybe with some brothers and sisters, your car. When you go to Walmart, you make sure that you park it away from every other car so it doesn't get dinged or donged at all. Even when a bird flies by, your heart drops. It didn't do anything, but the bird, oh, Birdie, please, please, I just washed it. Even when the brothers or sisters get into the car, you're just nervous because you want to make sure no spills, nothing happened. And so eventually, what happens? You're there. You know the brothers tell you to have a time with the Lord. You're there with the time, your time with the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love my Mustang. I mean, I love you. What happens? It becomes preeminent in us. And eventually what? We get cut off from Christ as the tree of life. So what do we do? Now, I'm not going to teach you from now on, do not love your car. Even if I taught Sonia that, do not love your car, she wouldn't listen to me anyway. And she couldn't do that. What the Lord is saying is not do not. What the Lord is saying, eat me. Eat Christ. Eventually, the supply to do so many things and the supply not to love other things is in Christ himself. It is not in you. Okay. It's very interesting that the Lord says, right, about you have someone against you, you have left your first love. But the reward to come back, the Lord calls as the overcomer to come back to what? Be recovered. To love him as the preeminent one. And the reward is that what? That we could take Christ as the tree of life. This is the reward. Then you wonder, I wondered, I asked the Lord, what is the parallel here, Lord? You say best love, and yet you say the reward is eat the tree of life. What is the correlation? In other words, in a very simple way, whatever we love is what we eat.
Right.
If we don't love something, you know, Johnny, let me just use Johnny here for a second. Let's say Johnny comes, I don't know, I'm not sure what he likes to eat, but let's say I put a live fish in front of him. Johnny, eat it. And he may really be hungry. He may really be, but Johnny, would you eat it? You don't have to tell me yes or no. He probably wouldn't eat it. It's flopping around and he's really hungry. He hasn't eaten for days, but that fish is flopping around. It just came out of the ocean. It's flopping around. Johnny, eat, eat, eat. Johnny, you're really hungry. He may be tempted, but what? There's not much love there, right? He may want to eat. He has the appetite, but the fish is jumping up. Johnny, eat, please eat, Johnny, eat, Johnny. If there's no love there, there's no eating. But if I put something else, Brother Minora spoke about T-bone. Let's we put a big piece of T-bone about this big in front of Johnny with that big baked potato, sweet potato, all kinds of things. There, I don't have to say Johnny eat because why? He loves it. Right, Johnny?
Right.
Your wife can testify. He loves it. He just eat. Whatever we love is what we eat. So if at this point of time we love our car, this is what we are eating.
Right.
And some of you, I'd just like to touch this in a brief way. Some of you, maybe you have to be in the computer, but you just love all those things that go bom, 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 ding, 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 ding. And you play against someone in Australia, and you can't wait till you get back from this conference because you just figured out how to beat him. So what? You're sitting here in the meeting, but your mind thinks about, yes, I got it. Next level, I got it. I got the key. What happens? We love something, and that whatever we love is what we... This is why the Lord says, love me first. When you love him first, spontaneously, you will eat him as the tree of life.
Amen.
Okay, then we just go on real quick. To eat the tree of life, to eat the Lord, we need to exercise our mingled spirit in John 4:24, 6:63, 1 Corinthians 6:17. We should eat and enjoy Christ daily and moment by moment by calling on the name of the Lord and praying in the Spirit. The brothers will get into this more as we go along. But I could tell you, the best way to enjoy him is to call on his name. Eat him as the tree of life. Don't take the Lord's name for granted. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love the Lord's name. I might have told you the story before. I don't know if Dick or Minor remembers. When I first got saved right where these brothers were in Los Angeles. And something happened to me. And when someone told me about calling on the Lord's name, I was wondering, what is that? I don't even know where Jesus is. How can I say, oh, Lord Jesus? Isn't that kind of strange? Oh, Lord Jesus. 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 Well, one of the brothers challenged me. He said, 5 minutes tomorrow morning, you call, first thing you do, you call Abraham Lincoln. And then for the next 5 minutes, you call George Washington. And then, of course, then he said, you call Ted Williams, which was a sports figure at that time, right? He was a baseball player. Or you just call somebody's name. So I did it. I took my watch. Oh, Abraham Lincoln. Oh, Abraham. Abraham. By 3.5 minutes. Oh, Abe. Abe. What happened to Abe Lincoln? I like Abraham Lincoln. I think he was one of the greatest presidents our country ever has. But does he give life? Sorry. He's still in the grave today. Then I called, oh, George. I really did this. Then I just imagined the Potomac River and a cherry tree and all these kind of... Oh, George Washington, George Washington, George Washington. Then I called on the sports figure. So 15 minutes, I took my watch, I called on all these ones. And then the brother told me, you take 5 minutes to call on the Lord's name. Oh, Lord Jesus. After a few calls, inwardly, I cannot say I was jumping up and down, but inwardly, what a sweet name.
Amen.
What a sweet joy. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, when I first got married, I love to call my wife's name. I'm so glad she's here. My wife is Janine. I would just sometimes, you know, Dick remembers, I would just call, oh, Janine. What? I had no trouble calling her name. Why? Because I loved her. I couldn't say, oh, Catherine, or oh, this or that. But, oh, Janine. Whoever in our office was named Janine, where's that, you know. I'm still calling, oh, Lord Jesus. Now I call her honey, right? Okay, where are we at, brothers? We should eat Christ daily, moment by moment, by calling on the name of the Lord and praying in the Spirit. Okay, let me just give you a couple practical applications here. We found out that we can eat Christ as the tree of life. The way has been reopened. The best way to enjoy Him is to call on Him, is to sing. All these matters, and the brothers will help us even to get into the practice of this. I would encourage you, calling on the Lord's name is not a religious ritual. Calling on the Lord's name is a dear, dear, dear invoking of the one we love. Oh, Lord Jesus. When we call on Him, what are we doing? We are eating Him as the tree of life. The tree of life that was there in Genesis is now available to us. And you know what? That tree of life has been installed. You don't have to go to Palestine or where the Garden of Eden was to get the tree of life. The tree of life is Christ Himself as the life-giving Spirit installed within our spirit. Wherever we walk, when you're on the campus, when you're walking on there, you are walking with the tree of life. You are not by yourself.
Amen.
Even if you're on the campus alone, you may be in the class alone, you are not alone. The tree of life is right there.
Amen.
You can eat Christ right there as the tree of life simply by calling on His dear name. Oh, Lord Jesus. How about right now, just with your neighbor?
Amen.
Just take a few times and call on the Lord together, right? In a lovely way, in a sweet way. Amen. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. 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 Very good. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, the best way when we rise up in the morning, not to say, oh no, but to say, oh Lord, at 6:30 tomorrow morning. No, say, not again. Too early. What's wrong with the serving ones? Say, oh Lord Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wound, and drives away his fear. And drives away his fear. And drives away his fear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. To call on the Lord is not a religious ritual. It is so sweet when we call on his name. The difficulty that we may face, we are talking about eating of the tree of life. The difficulty we may face is we may not have the appetite to eat. Why don't we have the appetite? Let me just point out one matter that may help us to recover our appetite. We may, at this point of time, at least those of you who've been with us, you may have a practice of having a personal time with the Lord. And we encourage you. This is very good. However, something else may be in our being that is eating up all that nourishment. The nourishment that we take in is being eaten up by some kind of inward eater. There's another eater that is eating something within us. And what is this? In a very practical way, this eating may be what? This eating is related even to how we express, what we express. This eating may be related to our unhappiness. This eating may be related to our criticism of others. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, I will just read something here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, therefore, putting away all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envyings, and all evil speakings. Malice is the source. Evil speakings is the issue. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Isn't it interesting here? Right in the New Testament, right in Peter's epistle, he talks about putting away the malice, putting away the evil speakings. To tell you the truth, when we criticize others, that criticism may lodge within us and eat up all the nourishment we've taken in. When you criticize others, you are not a happy person. Even just a little murmuring, I can't believe it. There's five people in my room. It was so hot. It was... Just those little things. What happens? It may cause it. It causes what? The nourishment we take, it just eats. It just eats. Especially because we are together in a close way. Any kind of offenses, any kind of things that take place between us, we should always take care of it in a good way, in a quick way, right? Otherwise, what happened? That offense may eat the nourishment that we take in. And then what? We don't have much of an appetite for Christ. And Christ to us may be just routine. Why? Because something else is eating that nourishment that we take in. On the nourishment side, we all know we need to improve. But whatever we take in, because of our criticism, because of our evil speakings, because of these things, what? It may cause us to what? To lose the nourishment. And even I would say, I know young people, we like to talk, but even some loose talk, especially after 10:30 at night, oh my goodness, in the brother's house, in the sister's house, after 10:30 at night, hard to know what is really fellowship and the flowing of the triune. Mainly, it's that serving one, or that elder, or that brother, or this and that, and all these kind of things. What does that do? that causes something to come up within us. Even the next morning, we don't have much hunger for the Lord. It is not because we don't agree. We agree that we should eat Christ. I think everyone agrees that we should eat Christ. But where is the appetite to eat? If we take care of these kind of things, even the simple matter of criticism, then what? You will see your appetite for the Lord will be renewed. Your appetite for the Lord will be rekindled. We can think of a lot of illustrations in this way. But this is one thing in a very practical way. Even the speaking could be what? Our speaking could be arbitrary. Our speaking could be what? It could be petty. It could be intentional. Whatever the kind of speaking. If we criticize others, situations, or different things like that too much, we have to be careful. That could lodge within us and cause it to eat all the nourishment that we can. Why? Because criticisms express eventually become an opinion. An opinion is a big eater that eats up all the things within us. So we have to take care of this. When we are with the Lord, we have to take care of what? Don't eat criticisms. Eat Christ as the tree of life. When you eat Christ as the tree of life, you will have an appetite. What is the solution? Put away. It says put away. Put away all these things. What is the solution? Drink the guileless milk of the Word. Eat Christ. What is the solution? The solution is taste the Lord. When we eat Christ, when we drink the guileless milk, all the guile, all the malice, all the criticism within us, all the disappointments, all the unhappiness within us will become what? Will just disappear. Why? Because we are drinking and we are eating something that is not guileless. We are eating Christ as the what? As the real milk of the Word. In a simple way. Then another practical way, on the positive side, is that we have to learn when we eat Christ. Brother Menor mentioned this word last night. We have to learn how to assimilate Him. Right. Eating Christ is one thing, but assimilation is the following step of eating Christ. Okay, in a simple way, how do we assimilate Christ? We assimilate Christ by taking time with Him. I have a saying, I know the college students, you're busy, you have a busy life, but when it comes to the Lord, don't be on a donut diet. You wake up, you stay up late, you may have a valid excuse, you may be studying, or you may be involved with someone from Australia on the internet. And you're there, you wake up late. Oh, I wake up late. I know, brothers tell me, I have to have morning revival. You open up your morning revival. Oh, thank you, Lord. Eat the tree of life. Oh, tree of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Gone. Brothers ask you, Brother Dick sees you. Hey, did you have your morning revival? Oh, yes, Brother Dick. I had my morning revival. It composed of a half a donut. Well, it's not bad to eat Christ, but you have to take, don't eat a donut, Christ. I know this may be paradoxical. Anyway, take the time to take in Christ. You cannot eat in a quick way. You may have only a few minutes, but I guarantee you, when you take the time with the Lord, those few minutes will increase. We all have to groom ourselves. We'll have to be proper. But I would encourage you, don't spend a whole lot of time in front of the mirror. You know, once you comb your hair, maybe 500 times later, I don't know if it's going to make you that more pretty, right? You could, you know, sometimes the sisters tell us, we don't have time, we don't have time, we don't have time. Then we just ask them in a good way, how much time do you spend in front of the mirror? Oh, 30 minutes. Oh, 20 minutes. That's good. You could spend, but I would say, how about you just reduce that time just a little bit and behold the real one in the mirror? Okay. I'm not saying that. Now, don't go back and say, Brother Dennis says that we are sisters, he doesn't like us to comb our hair and be ugly. No. That's not that. But take your time. Even when you're combing your hair, even when you're doing something, you have your word. You know, this is why we have all kinds of, you know, the reasons why we have all kinds of different sizes of Bible, so we can take them all over the place. In our bathroom, and wherever we are, we just have the Bible as we're doing all those things. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. Taste and see, amen, that the Lord is good. And, you know, my hair is very easy. I just go, I'm done. Okay. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Whatever we're doing, we can redeem the time to take time to absorb Him. When we eat Christ, it is not just a, what? A eating that is very quick. Eat Christ means to eat Him in a good way, in a proper way, right? Take time. And this is how we assimilate Him. We have to take time to absorb Him. Spend the time to behold Him. Amen. Spend the time to be attracted to Him. Spend the time to adore Him. Oh, we love to behold the Lord. When we do that, we are really eating Christ as the tree of life. I just got back not too long ago, just within this week. Was it this week, Dick? I just got back from Moscow there. And so my time clock is a little different. So I'm up early in the morning. And it used to be that when I was traveling much more, those early morning times would sometimes be a waste because I was trying to sleep. In these days, those early morning times have been so sweet. Why? I'm just there taking time to behold the Lord. Oh, Lord, I just love you. I just love you, Lord. Just take the time to absorb Him, to absorb. Colossians 2:7 says that we have been rooted in Christ. In other words, Christ, as the soil, has all the divine elements needed for our growth. We are just there. In the morning, when you have your time with the Lord, be rooted in Him. For the plants to get the nourishment, you know, there's not a big, just a big root. The roots that you see on top of the ground are just there to hold the tree up. But the nourishment does not come from those big roots. The nourishment comes from the tiny root hairs that are unseen. Our nourishment comes, what? In an unseen by others, taking care of the tiny root hairs. What does this mean? When you have your time with the Lord, you don't have to expect every time to be dynamic. You just are there with the Lord. Open the Word. Open your heart. Open your hymnal, and you're just there with the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You feel good, you don't feel good, that is not the point. The point is, you're opening your being to the Lord. As you open your being to the Lord, all the tiny root hairs are absorbing the riches, are absorbing the elements in Christ as the divine soil. Then you will become a what? A healthy believer. Not by doing something, not by having an objective, just an outward show, but by below the surface, without people knowing, you are just there absorbing Christ. Amen. When we take Christ in, another way to assimilate Christ, when we take Christ in, the Word works in us, the Word operates in us. And sometimes we may be walking on the campus, and the Lord may say, speak to that one. And we say, I'm not ready. I didn't have a good morning revival. I failed yesterday. I did this. I did that. But the Lord is still saying, speak. Give Him a track. That's why it's always good to have a track with you. Don't be trackless. Have something with you. And as the Lord speaks, and you may say, okay, Lord. I've done this sometimes, you know. Michael's here. And I'm walking, and he's walking the other way, Michael. You sat over there. You just are walking that way. Yeah. Can you walk towards me? And as we're walking, I look and the Lord says, speak to him. I say, oh, Lord, I'm not ready. Speak to him. I'm not ready. Okay, Lord. I turn around. I just want to give something to you. And when I speak to him, he may be open, he may not be open, but I tell you what happens. You know what happens? At that point of time, because I've obeyed the Lord, I've assimilated Christ more into my being. The way to assimilate Christ is to obey Him within when He speaks. You know, the Lord always speaks to us. Everything, we just have to be open to His speaking. When we listen to His speaking and obey Him, we are assimilating Christ as the tree of life. Then He becomes part of our constitution. All the divine elements in Christ as the soil become our constitution. When we're driving on the car, on the freeway, when we're driving there, the Lord may say this or that to us. You are too close. Because that one just cut you off. And you want to make sure that that person knows you, knows that you are unhappy. And so, like that Cruella lady. Then common sense tells you, step back a little bit. Okay, so common sense. Well, sometimes the Lord may win. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. And within we say, amen, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Eventually when you say that, you'll come into a prayer. Lord, let everybody cut me off. I don't care because I love Jesus. Amen. When they cut you off, you just wave. Oh, you don't know how much I'm enjoying Christ as my tree of life. That doesn't mean go 40 miles on the freeway. You know what I mean? But as you're there, you know the difference within. You know the difference within. When we allow the Lord, when we obey the Lord's speaking, that is a good way to assimilate Christ. Okay, then finally, how about we come? I just want to read a verse here to you. A brother pointed this out to me before the conference. In Ezekiel 3, this is a very good group of verses on how the description of assimilating Christ. Listen to this verse. Ezekiel 3, verses 1 through 3. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me that scroll to eat. And he said to me, listen to this, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll. As we progress with the Lord, the way to assimilate Christ is eat until you are filled. Don't just eat and stop. Take one verse, da, 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 da. That's a good beginning, but you have to progress. You have to eat that scroll until what? And fill your inward parts with the scroll that I'm giving you. And I ate it, and it was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness. This is the way to assimilate Christ. Eat him until you are filled with him. Amen. This is the way to assimilate Christ. Amen? Okay, so we need the tender roots. Don't become old with the Lord. The way to absorb Christ is to have tender, fine roots. When we are fresh with the Lord, my goodness, when we're fresh with the Lord, we can absorb him more and more. Then, finally, let's read Roman number 5 together. Okay? Today,
the enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life is the believer's common portion. In the millennial kingdom, the enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life will be a dispensational reward to the overcoming believers. Eventually, in the new heaven and new earth for eternity, the enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life will be the eternal portion of all God's redeemed.
Today, the enjoyment of Christ as the tree of life can be our portion, our common portion. In the next day, in the next age, it is a reward. And in the coming age, in the eternal age, it is the eternal portion in eternity. What we can do, the principle in the Bible, is that in order to enjoy Christ as the tree of life in the next age, by the way, there will be, not by the way, there is a next age coming. There isn't. The age that we know as of today will not go on forever. There is a next age coming. In that next age, to enjoy Christ as the tree of life, and the principle is we must enjoy him as the tree of life today. The word says, to him who overcomes. It doesn't say, to him who will overcome. We can overcome today. We can overcome all these things. When we overcome today, our portion is Christ as the tree of life. Then as we overcome today, then in the next stage, as a reward to all the overcomers, Christ will be himself, will be our tree of life. Amen. Eating fulfills God's purpose. Roman number one, in a conclusion, in a summary, eating fulfills God. God's purpose is not fulfilled just by teaching. God's purpose is fulfilled by eating Christ. Because of the fall of man, the way the tree of life was closed, through Christ's redemption, his death and resurrection, the way to the tree of life was open. The enemy came in to usurp, again, through teachings, but the Lord is calling the overcomers. Eat me today as the tree of life. When you eat me as the tree of life, not only am I satisfying you, but you are fulfilling my purpose. By eating Christ as the tree of life, we are satisfied and God's purpose is being fulfilled. Amen. Okay, I think I'll stop here. Mike, we have a few minutes of speaking, sharing? Yeah. How about some time for prophesying? Just come up on both sides. And I think we'll just have, we'll start off with 1 minute of prophesying, huh? Each. Yeah. Just come. What you enjoy? 30 seconds. Okay. How about we just do 30 seconds? That way more of you could speak. And how about we do this way? At least those of you who spoke this morning, you go ahead and give others the opportunity to speak, at least for the next session, okay, this session. So let's go ahead. We have microphone here and a microphone there. Please come up.